Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him, Jesus. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Parting out his garments, they cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them sneered, saying, He has saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ, the chosen one of God. Soldiers also made game of him, coming up offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. There was also an inscription written over him in Greek and Roman, and Hebrew letters, This is the king of the Jews. Verse 44, And it was about the sixth hour, and there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. And Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he expired. Now the centurion, seeing what took place, glorified God, saying, In very deed, this man was just. All the crowds who'd come together to the sight, having seen the things that took place, returned beating their breasts. All those who knew him stood afar off, the women also, who'd followed him from Galilee, beholding these things. And then in the next chapter, just section of verse 5, last part of verse 5. Why seek ye the living one among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. And earlier on in the Gospel, chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass, when he came into the neighbourhood of Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. When he heard the crowd passing, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by. He called out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who were going before rebuked him, that he might be silent. But he cried out so much the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be led to him. When they drew nigh, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do to thee? He said, Lord, that I may see. Jesus said to him, See, thy faith has healed thee. Immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. People, when they saw it, gave praise to God. No doubt we're all aware that this country is in a condition of national mourning. Flags are flying at half-mast on public buildings following the death of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. Very important man in the echelons, higher echelons of society in this realm, not least the consort of Her Majesty. A man who's done a lot of things in his life, set up some important institutions which will bear his name going forward. A man who lived for a good long age, 99 years old, a long, long time. And yet, I digress for a moment, and yet, death has laid its claim upon him. Someone said to me the other day, you know, it's interesting, for all our lives he's been around. And now he's gone, death has laid its claim upon him. A solemn thought, isn't it? No matter who you are, how old you are, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death entered the world by one man. By one man sin entered the world, and by sin death. Thus all have died. Solemn thought, isn't it? No matter who you are, no matter whether it's a prince in the realm or the lowest person in the country, no matter who you are, a sentence of death lies upon you. Wages of sin is death. The Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. No matter who you are, you know. Solemn thing to remember, that death, if you're left here, or if things remain as they are, in due time death will lay its hand upon you. Where will you be at that time? The swelling of the Jordan. when the old preacher, you know, lays its hand upon you, solemn consideration in the gospel. That's why we're here, you know, to talk about realities, things that are of vital importance. Coming back to what I was saying, you know, about the prince. You know, this the news articles or the news outlets of the country have been flooded with articles about this man's life and his death. One of the newspapers was reported as having 120 pages devoted to it. But you know, in a few days, the news cycle of the world will have moved on. There'll be other things on the front page, other things that the news will speak about. And largely, apart from those that were close to him, you know, everybody's life will go on more or less the same, unaffected by the death of this important person. In the gospel, I want to tell you, and I've read, about a death on a completely different level. I've read about the death of a king. The king. I've read about the death of the Son of God. The only man who ever walked this earth absolutely pure and perfect. And you know, when he left this earth, he never left it as he found it. Everything changed with the life and death of Jesus. Everything. Right from the beginning of time, you know, in God's eyes, everything looked forward to the death of Jesus. And from then on, everything looks back to that momentous moment, the cross of Calvary, when the Son of God, the Lamb of God, gave his life for sinners. Oh, what a wonderful time it was, you know. You think of Jesus coming into the world. Think of his incoming, the poverty of Bethlehem's manger, the Son of God coming into his creation. Oh, marvellous, you know. I love to think of it. God manifest in flesh. Wonder of his universe. Think of God himself in the person of his Son stooping into his creation. Why? Because you and I were lost, helpless sinners. And there was no other way that we could be saved but that God himself should intervene. His life, you know, was one of perfection. You know, the prince, we said, lived to 99 years. Jesus only lived to 33 years. A life of perfection and beauty. Says in the Psalms, you know, cut me not off in the midst of my days. In one sense, you know, he loved life as no man ever could because of who he was in his perfection. Cut me not off in the midst of my days. But you know, after those 30 years in obscurity, coming out in public service towards men, demonstrating the heart and love of God on every hand. You know, you think of the persons that Jesus came into contact with. You know, when they speak about people, they say they touched persons' lives. Jesus touched persons' lives in a way no other person could. Think of those that we read of in the gospel. The demoniacs. The blind. The deaf. The lame. That woman, you know, that was bowed over, head to the floor for 12 years, was it, or 40 years, whatever it was. Love to think of the streets of Capernaum at night, you know, thronged with persons coming to Jesus that he might put his touch upon them so that they might get blessing. That was the life of Jesus, you know. He touched lives. And the wonderful thing is, you know, that he's still touching lives today. No matter in his life, yes, he touched lives in his life here. But he's touched myriads since. And he's still touching lives today and he wants to touch your life. If you've never yielded your heart to him tonight, you know, he wants you to yield your heart to him and know him as your Lord and Saviour. Well, I've read these solemn scriptures and I'm aware that it's holy ground. Luke's presentation of the death of Jesus when they came to the place which is called Skull. There they crucified him. Speaks in Corinthians, you know, of in the wisdom of men. He hasn't known God. And what man by his wisdom has not known God. God has been pleased by the foolishness of the gospel to save men. You know, as far as men are concerned, they say, well, how can a man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago, how can that save me? It seems like foolishness to them. To faith, you know, we recognize that when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he took my sins on himself. And God punished him for my sins. And he bore that judgment and took it away forever. Praise God for that, you know. I'm saved because Jesus took my sins away. Does it seem like foolishness to you? Oh, my friend, let it not be so. It's the wonder of faith, you know, that Jesus died for you. And if only you'll accept it, come in repentance and faith, you can be saved eternally. You know, the consequences of the death of Jesus are eternal. Eternal. Think of that, you know. There they crucified him. Think of that. What a solemn death for Jesus. A man who'd done nothing but good. This was a cruel, violent death. Wonder how often, you know, we think about Calvary. Golgotha's cross. Place of a skull. It's where man's wisdom, you know, put Jesus. The Son of God. Think of how they treated him, spat in his face, beat him. Before this, the cruel, the trial, the mockery of a trial, and all the mistreatment of the Saviour. And then they crucified him. Those nails driven through his hands and his feet. The reality of the death of Christ. The malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then it says, Jesus said. You know, often it's people take account of the last words of important people. There's seven statements of the Lord Jesus from the cross. And this is one of them. Isn't it marvellous? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of what had taken place here. They'd taken an innocent man. Wicked hands had taken him. They'd mistreated him, given him that mockery of a trial, and nailed him to a cross. The intensity of his sufferings, and yet what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No wonder, you know, this centurion said, truly, this man was Son of God. No one had died like Jesus died. No one had hung on a cross like Jesus hung on a cross. I guess that when persons were hanging there and they threw their reproaches at them, they would throw them back. But what does Peter say, you know, when reviled, reviled not again. When suffering, threatened not. Think of that, you know. The perfection of Jesus shone out in its absolute wonder in those times of absolute awfulness. When he dying there upon the cross in absolute agony, what shone out but his perfection? The one who was there, you know, was utterly qualified to take upon himself the matter of your sins and mine. He was perfect. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People stood beholding, the rulers also that with them, sneered, saying, he saved others. He saved others, let him save himself. A moral impossibility. Absolutely. You know, Jesus could have saved himself. We know that. He was the Son of God. He could go in the boat, you know, and calm the storm. A massive storm. Boat was sinking. And the Lord Jesus says, silence be mute. And the mighty storm is silenced. The glory and the power of Christ. Himself he cannot save. Of course he could. He could have come down from that cross in mighty power. But if he'd come down from that cross, there'd be no salvation for you and me. It was necessary, you know, that Jesus should die on the cross. Suffer the just for the unjust. The righteous judgment of God against sin and sins. Otherwise there could be no basis for God to forgive me, the sinner. Himself he could not save, oh yes he could. But thank God he stayed upon that cross. Because in staying there, he bore the penalty of my sins. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And then we go on to verse 44. It was about the sixth hour. There came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. You know, I've sometimes wondered what it must have been like to be there. These 3 hours of supernatural darkness. This was the middle of the day. It wasn't the evening or any other time. This was the middle of the day. And the whole scene was clothed in darkness. It must have been pretty frightening. You know what it's like when you've been in an eclipse? It's slightly unnerving. Everything goes quiet, the birds stop singing, and the light changes, and it's slightly unnerving. This was no eclipse. This was absolute darkness. Descended on this scene for 3 hours. Never happened before. Never happened since. This was a unique death. No one died like Jesus. These 3 hours, you know, the greatest transaction in the universe took place. God took the penalty of my sins and the sins of all who trust in Jesus and laid them on him. And Jesus, the one who had no sins of his own to bear, bore the penalty of those sins. Think of how concentrated those 3 hours must have been as he bore all the righteous, holy judgment of God against sin and sins and exhausted it. Oh, what a mighty 3 hours of darkness it was. Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, we know from John's Gospel's account, he cried, "It is finished. It is finished." What was finished? That mighty transaction was completed. He'd borne the penalty of sin and sins and exhausted the righteous judgment of God. Established the righteous basis upon which God could forgive the sinner today. And he gave up his spirit. Think of that, you know. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Every other man, you know, surrenders to death. Jesus surrendered himself to death. Think of that. Son of God went into death. Why? That he might defeat its power. Soldiers came and pierced his side. And out flowed that blood. The witness to the fact that he had really died. The witness to a holy God that the sacrifice had been made. And that one had died, you know, to take away the penalty of another. The sacrifice. It was a sacrificial death. God says, as we reminded the other week, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Think of that, you know, God is satisfied in the work of Jesus. It was complete. It was full. It satisfies the claims of a holy God. Sometimes singing the hymn, you know, God is satisfied with Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it is, you know, to think of that mighty work completed. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he expired. Centurion, seeing what took place, glorified God, saying, "In very deed, this man was just." I just read that verse later on in the next chapter. Because as we know, the story doesn't end at the cross. It goes on to tell us how Joseph, that secret disciple, you know, came out into the light to tell everybody that he believed in Jesus, claimed the body of Christ. I think it's very precious to see that, you know, that body that God had seen his son fulfill his will in completely. That precious body. God saw that it was cared for in death. It tells us in the prophet, he was with the rich in his death. No great ceremony, you know. No great outpouring. Just Joseph and Nicodemus. And those that saw where he was laid. Oh, wonderful, you know, the burial of Jesus. But even more wonderful, the resurrection of Jesus. 3 days in the tomb, they go to the tomb to anoint his body. He's not here, he is risen. What a message, you know. What a message of hope. What a message of joy. They couldn't believe it for joy, could they? Yes, you know, Jesus went into death. He really died. There for 3 days and three nights. But raised again the third day. In mighty power, breaking the power of death. The stone was rolled away. Was it rolled away so that he could come out? Never. It was rolled away so that we could see in and see that it was an empty tomb. The power of death defeated in the death of Jesus. So for everyone now that trusts in him tonight, you know, the power of death need have no sting, because Jesus has taken death's sting away. Has he taken that sting away from you, my friend? The death of Jesus has eternal consequences for those that put their trust in him. Has eternal consequences for those that reject him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Solemn word, you know. It doesn't say reject either. It says neglect. What does that mean? You know, it just means that you just don't take any notice. You don't bother about the death of Jesus. It doesn't mean anything to you. Think of the prophet of old could say, you know, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Does the work of Christ mean nothing to you? If you neglect the salvation that's offered to you in Jesus, there is no hope for you. Eternal darkness. How solemn. I just want to turn to this incident in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. You know, thinking again of the Duke of Edinburgh's death, we all know about him. We know who he is. We would recognise him from a picture, probably recognise him if we saw him. We know lots about him. But I don't think there's any of us here could actually say that we knew him. I have a very great burden tonight in the gospel. You, my friend, might know plenty about Jesus. Coming to the gospel for years, read the Bible. Go to Bible readings, Bible studies, whatever. You might know plenty about Jesus. My question to you tonight is, do you know him? And does he know you? I read just about this blind man. You know, here he was in Jericho, a beggar just laid there as he was day by day. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. He'd heard about Jesus. He knew something about him. But the fact that Jesus was passing by was a remarkable thing to him. He knew that there was someone that could cure his blindness. So does he just sit there, you know, and say, well, I know about him. I know he can heal the blind man. Does he just sit there and say, no. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have compassion on me. He cries out in the earnestness of his heart. I tell him to be quiet. Does that stop him? Never. He's a man who knows he has a need. And he wants that need met. He's not just satisfied with knowing about Jesus. He needs to know him. He needs to have a transaction with him. And that's the same for you and me in the gospel, you know. It's no good. It won't get you anywhere just knowing about the Saviour. You need to know him personally. And know him for yourself as your Saviour. You need to repent of your sins. And accept that his work on the cross is for you personally. You know, I've told this story before, but I won't apologise for telling it again. About a society meal in London. Many, many years ago. And at this meal there was a very well-known actor. And at the end of the meal, the guest there said to the actor, says, oh, we'd like you to recite something for us. He's very good at his speech and plays and things, apparently. So he says, well, fair enough, I'm happy to do that. What would you like me to recite? There was an old man there who was a preacher of the gospel. And he said, I'd like you to recite the 23rd Psalm. And the actor says, that's fine, I'll take up the challenge. He said, on one condition. He said, and that is that once I've recited it, you recite it after me. So the actor gets up and starts to read that magnificent psalm, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And he read it absolutely perfectly. You know, the intonation was right. The pronunciation was right. You know, all the stops in the right place. And just as he'd been taught how to speak, it was just perfect. And when he got to the end of the psalm, everybody there burst into applause. Give him a good clap. It was very impressive. So he turns to the old man, the preacher, and he says to him, he says, well, now it's for you to recite the psalm. And the old man gets up, you know, and he begins to recite that magnificent psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. But you know, as he read it, a silence just fell upon the company. And when he got to the end, you know, they were just an awed silence. And not a few of those that were there had tears in their eyes. He hadn't read it perfectly. There was nothing, the intonation wasn't perfect and everything wasn't right about how he'd said it. But something about what he'd said affected their hearts. Eventually the actor got up and he said, my friends, he said, tonight we've both recited this psalm, but there's one major difference. I know the psalm. This man knows the shepherd. I wonder tonight, my friend, do you know the shepherd? Do you know him personally? Because it's absolutely essential that you do. You have to do with Jesus personally. Knowing about him won't do. He's been to the depths of Calvary's cross that we've read about tonight, that you might be saved. He went there for you to die in your place, shed his precious blood for you. Won't you just yield your heart to him? Come to him in repentance. Trust him for your life and for your whole eternity. Eternal consequences resulting from the death of Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there could be eternal consequences here tonight? May it be so for his name's sake.